Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
I'm very blessed to be with you, and I was blessed to hear the Advent candle and the testimony and remembering our brothers and sisters around the world. One of the disadvantages or advantages of not knowing you or congregation and your traditions of Advent, I'm going to preach an Advent sermon right now, but it's not a Christmas sermon. It's an Advent sermon. So if you're used to getting Christmas sermons on the first Sunday in Advent, you can walk out. But I'd appreciate you hanging in there. So this very un-Christmas passage, which I think is a terrific Advent passage, comes from the book of Matthew chapter 14. Passage, it's familiar, Jesus walking on water, verse 22. This comes immediately after Jesus fed the 5,000. Immediately thereafter, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he had dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus said immediately to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they climbed down into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word speaks to us, speaks across generations, speaks around the world. And we pray, Father, that you would speak to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know, before I go much farther, I am a fan of Christmas. I'm a fan of presents. I like to get presents. So if you feel like it, great. I want you to know that I like the fact that during this season, people come out of themselves and are more charitable than usual. I like that. I like the fact that people get together with family and friends. I like that. So there's much about this season I like, despite about all the things I'm about to say. In the eyes of the world, Advent is the 25 shopping days before Christmas. And in the eyes of the world, we have a new holiday in America today, and it's a bigger holiday than Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday. And that Advent is actually, for me, the most difficult time of the year to stay focused on Christ, to stay focused on what it means to be a disciple. It seems like everything around me, I feel like I'm in this boat with the disciples, and the wind is there, and the waves are there, and I'm scared because this whole world just seems to be coming apart because I can't get my focus on what it's supposed to be. It tends to get sucked into the presence, get sucked into spending more money than I have. It tends to get sucked into images of what things are supposed to be. And what we find is that young children, of course, love this season almost more than any other, and I certainly did as a child. But we also find that there's so much buildup for Christmas Day itself that on Christmas Day, it's often a day of disappointment. And that disappointment that you can begin to experience in later childhood, as it goes into later in life, what we find when we talk to adults is that December is the month of the year with the most depression. It could be. It's related to the lack of sunlight. But I think it's more connected to the sense that when we get to this time of year, we have a sense about what Christmas is supposed to be. We have a sense about what our lives are supposed to be. The world has given us an image of what it's supposed to be, and it doesn't measure up, and it's disappointing, and we don't measure up, and we're disappointing. And it's a hard season. Advent is not the 25 shopping days before Christmas. Advent is to Christmas what Lent is to Easter. Advent is today is the first day of the Christian year. First day of Advent is the first day of the year in the Christian calendar. And the way the Christian year starts out is a season of prayer and fasting. Between now and December 24th, in the Christian calendar, it's a time of prayer and fasting, of preparing ourselves to honor Jesus and welcome Jesus into our life as the King who has come from heaven to earth as a child. That literally changes everything. And I don't know whether or not your congregation observes the Christian calendar, although the first Sunday of Advent seems to be something we're in touch with here. But I sense that it's a very helpful thing. And the reason I do is that it's just so easy in this world to get sucked into the world. It's just so easy to know what we're supposed to do as Christians, to know how we're supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to lose our center. It's so easy to become like the world that we need a time of detox. And I sense we need more detox right now from the world than we do during Lent. Because this is this amazing time of one of the great events of all human history. God comes to earth, taking the form of a human, a child, to save us. It's utterly remarkable. And it's a story that changes everything. And it's a story that changes our lives. It's a story that is supposed to utterly change and transform us. But it's so easy for it to get lost. As you came today, you were in touch. It's December 1st. It's Advent. How many of you were thinking about what kind of shopping you have to do? How many of people were thinking about, how am I going to afford this? How many of you were thinking about how sad you are this time of year because of what your life hasn't been? How many of us, if any of us, were filled with the wonder of what this season means? Advent is a time of preparing ourselves, detox from the world, the materialism, all the fancy that's not true, and to get ourselves connected to what is true. And you say, is it hard to compete with Black Friday? Well, yeah. Is it hard to compete with Madison Avenue? Well, yeah, it is. Is the idea that Christmas, Christ, a Christ-centered Christmas can hold a candle to what the world portrays Christmas as? Yeah. But it takes work, and it takes attention, and it takes a transformed mind. I don't have a corner on it. I do not have a corner on it. But several years ago, our family decided that we weren't going to shop during the Advent. No, the children in this room are just about ready to die. I know, I'm telling you right now. And what we did on Christmas Day is that we had stockings with some stuff in it. And then, beginning the day after Christmas, for the 12 days of Christmas, everybody could open one present a day. And then our family decided to develop the tradition of the 12 desserts of Christmas. And we had a dessert every day for the Christmas. And we didn't put up our tree till Christmas Eve. And so we didn't take down our tree till after Epiphany, January 6th. And so on December 26th, even on the 25th, when the neighbors are all throwing their tree out, Christmas is too big a deal to fit into one day. Ebenezer Scrooge says, I'm going to keep Christmas in my heart every day of the year. What are we going to do to reclaim Christmas in the way to make it the most awesome celebration of God becoming man and beginning the trek to Calvary? So what does all this have to do with the scripture I read? I think it's a good centering scripture for what it is we need to do for detoxing ourselves this month. The disciples are told by Jesus to get into their boat and go to the other side. The disciples are fishermen. The disciples know boats. The disciples know the lake. The disciples are macho. The disciples are on their way over to the other side. The disciples are very self-assured. The disciples sense that they understand the world and they understand how things work. The disciples think that they understand Jesus, but they don't. They don't understand how the world works. In fact, by this time, the disciples are getting a big head because they're so deeply, closely connected to Jesus, and Jesus is a rock star. And the only question I ask ourselves is, how do we regard ourselves as disciples? Do we have a big head? Do we think we understand it all? Do we think we understand how the world is going to work, how things are going to unfold, what Jesus is going to do? Do we think we understand these things? This is why we need to detox. This is why we need to step back. Because the reason why Christmas is not captivating our imagination, the reason why Madison Avenue Christmas seems so much better than the Christmas that we would have if it was Christ-centered, is because we've lost our ability to understand and see how absolutely awesome Jesus is. We've allowed our image of Jesus to become so small and tame, and it seems boring, that the other thing is better. Not true. So the disciples are going across the lake and a storm comes up. And there's many different stories. This story is retold in Mark and also in the book of John, chapter 6 in both instances. And what we find is that the storm that comes up is intense and the disciples are scared. Now, we don't like it when storms come up in our lives. We don't like it when storms come up. But sometimes they're the best things that can happen to us because they cause us to have to say, I need help. And the truth of the matter is every single one of us in this room today needs help, and we don't feel like it. And we're too proud to think we need help. But thank God for storms. So the storm comes up. And when the storm comes up in our lives, and it's come up in all of our lives, and you're not in a storm right now, you will be. When the storm comes up, our thought is, oh my God, I'm not in control. Oh my God, I can't save myself. And our thought is, I'm dead. Our first thought is not, Jesus will save me. Our thought is, I can't handle it. And because our first thought is that Jesus can't save me, it's another sign that we need the detox of Advent. because we don't understand how awesome Jesus is. We don't understand that he came down from heaven to earth as a child, but was God. And he is powerful. He is powerful to save. And no matter what storm we're in, we find the most fascinating thing from this passage. It's pitch black, obviously. Storm. Jesus is on the mountainside praying. There's no electricity. It's pitch black. And Jesus sees them. Sometimes when we're in a storm and everything is dark, we assume that God can't see us. We assume that we're alone. We don't feel God, and we say, how could God possibly see us? Well, the amazing thing is that Jesus does see us. In fact, the amazing thing is that Jesus is somebody who watches over his disciples. He was on the hillside praying, but he never forgot about his disciples. He never forgot that they were out on the ocean, on the Sea of Galilee, and he never forgot the fact that they were in trouble. And he didn't send them to a place where he couldn't handle it. Did he know what was going to happen? Of course he knew what was going to happen. We have a God who watches. And one of the things we need to do during this Advent is we need to allow that truth to become part of our life. We have a God who is watching us all the time. Whether we feel him or not, whether we think it's so dark he can't see us, we have a God who watches. And then Jesus comes to him. Jesus goes to his disciples. When we're in this storm out on the sea, Jesus comes to us. We may not know he's coming, but the reality is he's coming. We have a God who watches, and we have a God who comes to us. Right now, no matter what storm you're in, Jesus is coming to you. And one of the things we need to do during this Advent season is not give in to the idea that we are alone, that our lives are ruined, that the storm that we are in is a storm that will consume us. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus is coming to us, and he is going to rescue us. Because that's what he does. That's why he came from heaven to earth. To rescue. He went to the disciples. And when they saw him coming, they were afraid. Because Jesus was so much more than they believed he was. Jesus is so much more than we believe he is. Jesus is so much more, which is why we so desperately need Advent. Philip said, our God is too small. Our conception of God is too small. Our conception of Jesus is too small. He is the Savior of the world. He is God. He created the world. He spoke, and the world came into being. Jesus is God. In Advent, we need to get a sense of who this God is. And so we won't be surprised when he does what we don't believe he can do. We won't be surprised when he does what we don't believe he can do. Oh, you of little faith, he says to Peter. Now, fascinating moment. Storm is raging, the disciples are scared. And if the disciples are scared, my inference is the ship is not safe. They're scared, it's because the ship is not safe. I don't think they're scared of being seasick. If they're scared, the ship is not safe. Now here's my question, because it's a question I ask myself all the time. How many of us would prefer to stay in a sinking ship than to step out onto the water when Jesus bids us to come? And when we read this story, we can get the idea that Peter is kind of a goofball. I mean, you get the impression, you know, Peter, He's kind of impetuous. He says, "Oh yeah, if you're a guy you want to call, call me. If you're Jesus, tell me to come." And I'm saying to myself, "Peter, my goodness, anybody could tell you to come. If you're Jesus, tell me to come." Well, he comes. And he just, Peter, to his credit, gets out of the boat. We often say, "Oh, this is too bad because Peter gets out of the boat, then he loses his faith, and Jesus has to rescue him." He says, "Oh, you have little faith." All of that is true. But he got out of the boat. The rest of them stayed in the boat. How many of us prefer the familiarity of our sinking ship to getting out of it and going to Jesus? Advent means, following Jesus means, that we all have to step out of our sinking ship. If we are sitting here today comfortable, you know, we are not the persecuted church, we're comfortable. We're comfortable where we're at. We're pretty content with where we're at. Well, then we're in trouble. Because the reality is, we all inhabit sinking ships. And following Jesus means we have to get out of our ship. We have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to get out of the place where we're in control, and we have to go to him across the water. And we'll say, "Well, that can't be done." And that's why we need Advent. Because if we say it can't be done, we are saying that Jesus can't save. The step of faith, the life of faith, is the faith that says, "Jesus can save me." And what Jesus says to all of us, he wants us to get out of our sinking ship and go to him in faith that he can save, that he can rescue. Advent means we need to take a look at our lives and realize the comfort and the things that make us comfortable can be the enemies of discipleship for Jesus. And we could say, this is the negative, "Woe, oh, woe is me, oh, we're bad people because we are comfortable." I'd prefer us to say, how much better is getting out of the boat. No matter how scary it is, it's so much better to get out of the boat and go to Jesus. And what we need to do this Advent is we need to recover how great Jesus is, how awesome it is, how much it matters to be with him, to be connected to him, to go to him. That this life that he calls us to is so awesome that it's so much better than the ship, even if the ship is in a calm place. And at the very end of the story, they get to the other side. The people in this place find out that Jesus is there, and they drop everything they're doing to bring the sick to Jesus, knowing that if they just touch the hem of his garment, they will be healed. As you enter into this Advent, is your month so planned out? Are your expectations so chained to the floor that you won't drop what you're doing? What it means to be a Christian, 365 or 6 days of the year, is to drop what we are doing to bring people to Jesus. It's not just us going to Jesus out of our sinking ship. It's dropping what we're doing to bring people to Jesus. And it's not, "Oh, crumb. I was going to watch the Patriots, and now I've got to bring somebody to Jesus." Okay? It's a natural feeling. I get that. But, this is why we need Advent. Bringing somebody to Jesus is so much better. In other words, our view of what it is to follow Jesus, our view of the Christian life has got so impoverished that following Jesus seems kind of boring compared to these other things. Now you say, okay, you're right. How do we get it? How do I recover this? You can't do it overnight. That's why I think the wisdom of the church calendar is it's good to have 25 days of detox. It's good to have just 25 days when I'm going to say, I'm going to devote myself to prayer and fasting to rediscover or to discover Jesus. Devote myself to prayer and fasting and see if I'm going to be willing to get out of my sinking ship and go to him. If I'm going to devote myself to prayer and fasting so that I can become attentive to everything that's going on around me, so I can see who is sick and who I can bring to Jesus. And that during these 25 days, God, please help me to rediscover how awesome you are, how good you are, and how nothing else, including the Patriots, holds a candle to it. It's not just a duty, it's a privilege. It's not just a duty, it's a joy. And we need to recover it. We have a God who watches, who comes to us, who calls us out of the sinking ship, who rescues us. Who's going to heal all the sick that come to him. My prayer for us this Advent is that we begin, each one of us in the inner part of our being, to recover this. I do like presents. Nothing wrong with presents. Nothing wrong with family. Nothing wrong with celebrating. But there's something right and awesome about Jesus. Let's pray. Our God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, and Lord, as we enter into this month and as we enter into this month and prepare ourselves for the astounding event of Christmas, of the amazing love of you coming to earth as a child, understanding fully what you're going to do, what's going to happen to you, and the love that that means. Lord, I just pray that you'd help all of us, and especially me, Lord, to recover this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning into Sermoncast. We hope you were blessed by this week's message. For more information about Christ Church, please visit ccnh.org.